Let's read from chapter 17, the first line. Getting here at the first verse, the first line reads like this: "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." You know, this morning we mentioned something. I didn't comment on it. I just made mention of one or two little things in that. I had a few minutes after that the brother had talked. The brother, how many of you feel like that he brought some wonderful things this morning? I thought that was rich, real good. But I commented just a little bit on some things and didn't elaborate much. I just kind of casually mentioned them. But I want you to notice something here. I made mention this morning that some people can't get close to God or get the things that God hath for them because they are so afraid that they are going to take the glory of God. You know, all down through the years, I heard this, and I never did know just exactly how to understand it, because I always had a fear of God through my life, and I didn't want to do anything wrong. So when people talked about the glory of God, that I might take the glory of God, well, I was just shocked, you know. I thought, well, I've got to figure out how to be humble and submissive and not take the glory of God. And then as I began to study the Bible and begin to be about the work of God and begin to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God, I found out how childish and how foolish that is.
And not only that, but I found out that so many multiplied things that I had been told down through the years was just childish and foolish. And that people that are in the world today, they are literally bound hand and feet with old wives' fables and foolish things. And I never dreamed, I just never dreamed that there were so many foolish things that people were bound by. And that they had let so many foolish things get a hold of them. And just literally terrorize them, and that they were bound with the tradition of the elders. So as I began to study the Bible and understand, I realized that it was a cunning trick of the devil to take a person's mind and to cause them to think in the wrong way so that he could bind them and keep them from excelling in God. Superstitions of every kind. My, I tell you what, the world is filled with silly superstitions. I want you to notice this. I mentioned this morning concerning the glory of God, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. I want you to think on that for just a few minutes. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if you do that, you will take God's glory. The Bible said his glory he will not give to another. We've said this many times. I want you to notice in Jesus' writings right here, the 21st verse, he says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Did you read that? The glory that thou hast given me, I have given them. See, how can you be afraid that you're going to take God's glory when the Bible said that the same glory that God had, that he gave it to his son Jesus, and the very same glory that he gave to his son Jesus, the Bible said that he gave it unto me and unto us, unto you. So then tonight, what kind of glory do I have? I have the glory of God. Think it not robbery to have the glory of God. Think it not robbery to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Do you think it's robbery tonight to make yourself equal with God? Somebody would say, oh my God, Brother Pike, you scare me to death. Talking about being equal with God. No, it doesn't scare me at all. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, in that he was made in the form of God, not in the form of a dog, not in the form of an animal, but in the form of God. Being made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Have you got that mind tonight that you feel equal with God? Oh no, somebody says, well, you need it. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you really don't mean that. Yes, I mean that. The Bible said that every man that be perfect shall be equal with his master or as his master. And no man shall be above his master, but that we should have this mind in us that Christ had. And that is that we should think ourselves to be equal with God because we're made in the form of God. I like that, don't you? Somebody said, oh, I could never do that, Brother Pike. Well, I can do that, and I just like it. I just love it. So then I thank God tonight that he hath made me equal with himself. He hath made me equal with God. And tonight, because of his grace and because of his mercy and because of his love, tonight I stand equal with God. Can you imagine that? So then the mind must be in me that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God because he was made in the form of God. So I thank God tonight that he hath made me equal with himself. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Jesus said, Father, glorify the Son. said that the Son may glorify thee. That's what it's all about, folks. Glorify the Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. How can I glorify God if God doesn't glorify me? If God doesn't give me His glory, how can I glorify God? For the way that I glorify God is being made in the image of God. The way that I glorify God is to submit myself to the Spirit and get more like God and add more godliness to my life and more soberness to my life and more godly desire to my life to be more like God, that the world may see me more like God. You know, when I walk down the street, that somebody can say, that's a godly person. Or somebody can say, you know, he reminds me of Jesus. Or he's more like God than anybody I've ever seen. Father, glorify me with thy glory that I may glorify thee. That is, Father, let your glory and let your image and let your strength and let your power be in my life, that it might radiate from me, that all of the world may see the glory of God through me. And the Bible said as Jesus stood upon the mountain, his countenance was changed, and he was transfigured before their very eyes, and the glory of God shone within him. And the Bible said concerning Stephen that he was such a devout man that his face was illuminated, and they saw his face with the brightness of the light of God, even as an angel, and could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. And they saw Moses standing on the mountain, this great man Moses, illuminated with the glory of God. And as he came down to them, they said, Moses, we can't stand to look at you. And Moses put a veil over his face so that they might be able to communicate, being a type of the body, the fleshly body that enveloped the glory of God as Jesus came down into this world. And that the world cannot stand to look upon the great light. You know, according to the Bible, the book of Revelation, just as soon as the great light appears, the Bible said it's so mighty that all of the earth flees away. Even the mountains flee away. Even the ocean flees away. If it's unveiled, if it's not veiled within the body of Jesus, then the world cannot stand the brightness of the glory of God. On through the millennium, God is still veiled within the body of Jesus. But just as quick as the millennium is over, then the unveiling of God comes. And the Bible said the Ancient of Days said, and the great light comes forth. And when the great light comes forth, the Bible said even the earth passes away. Even the ocean flees away. Nothing can stand in His presence. You know why that is? Have you ever stopped and asked God why that is? Because the glory of God and the light of God eradicates lying vanities. Jonah in the belly of the whale said it's a lying vanity. God's presence eradicates lying vanities. Everything in the world today is a lying vanity. Everything. There's nothing in the world today but what it's a lying vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher, and vexation of the spirit. So then when this great light, this great wisdom, this great knowledge, this great understanding, the great mighty Ancient of Days, as he begins to come forth, all of the world begins to dissipate. All of the world begins to fade away. Everything begins to just go out into nothing. Why? Because this wonderful revelation of Christ Jesus, this appearing of God, this great light, it automatically does away with every tangible substance. It does away with every natural thing. Every natural thing is but a type and a shadow. Every natural thing is but a forerunner of the great God, the great light. That is to say, this great light, this great wisdom, this great knowledge has brought all of the world into existence as a veil so that it can shine forth through the veil as God did through Moses. And this great light shows forth to the world today through this veil of intellectual comprehension, or it shines forth today, it comes forth today through types and shadows. That's why the Bible says that he that dwelleth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Because the secrets, the divine secrets of God that is so perfectly concealed are sealed within the types and the shadows. Therefore, to get under the shadow of the Almighty is to abide in His secret place. To be able to understand the allegoric types that Paul spoke of is to be able to have revelation. Whereas Paul speaks of Sarah. When he speaks of Sarah, he doesn't speak of Sarah as the woman. He speaks of Sarah as a city. Sheldon, when we think about Sarah, we think about Sarah as a woman. But when Paul thought about Sarah, he thought about Sarah as a city. He didn't think about her as a woman at all. But he said, Sarah, the city of New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. The city of New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. So then he stayed under the shadow of the Almighty. And he continually abode within the secret place of the Most High. So then Jesus said, Father, glorify me with thy glory, that I may glorify thee. That is, Father, let your presence come down in my heart, and let your presence come down in my life, because the more of your presence I have within me, and the more of your presence I have about me, the more that I feel your presence, and the more the Shekinah glory of God that comes down. He said, the greater I'm going to be, and the more mighty I'm going to be, and the more radiant I'm going to be to where the world can see God inside of me. Therefore, glorify me with thy presence, Heavenly Father, that I may glorify thee. And so it was, God brought his glory down. He brought his presence down on the Mount of Transfiguration, even to the extent that Jesus literally transfigured. The glory and the presence of God came so mightily upon Jesus and inside of Jesus until Jesus just completely went out of the picture so far as the natural person, and there stood the glorified Son of the living God, the great King of all ages, standing there in glory with Moses and Elijah. The same glory had come down upon Moses in such a way that Moses was took away. And it had come down upon Elijah in such a way that Elijah had actually went up in a chariot of fire. The Bible said after he crossed the Jordan, as the sons of the prophets stood there in the Jordan looking over to see what was going to happen, that as Elijah and Elisha, as they began to walk side by side, as they continued to walk, the Bible said all of a sudden from somewhere there came both a fiery chariot, and the Bible said in horses of fire. And as the fiery chariot and the horses of the fire came, the Bible said it just went down right between Elijah and Elisha and departed, and they just departed from one from another, separated asunder, Elijah and Elisha. And the Bible said that Elijah went on board. And when Elijah stepped on board the fiery chariot, the fiery horses just took him away into glory. See, Father, glorify me. Father, communicate with me. God, let me know something about the supernatural. Father, speak to me concerning the supernatural and bring me into the supernatural realm. Elevate me. Catch me up into levitation, as we say. And elevate me above this world and above my carnal reasoning. And Father, take me away from that thing of wanting to be famous and be some outstanding person and some celebrity. And get me away from thinking about my ministry and all these great things I'm supposed to be in the natural. Get me away from my childhood, oh God. And take me away from these little baby doings. And raise me up as a man, oh Father. And let me have spiritual communication. Let me quit my foolishness. And let me quit acting like a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I speak as a child. But get me away from these childish things and let me realize that there is a place that I should be in God, to where I can have communication with God, and to where I can get a hold of something supernatural, something spiritual, something great, and something outstanding. And get away from this thing of wanting to be some great famous evangelist or something outstanding. And get into the real thing of God. You know, this is the trouble with the world today. Even the evangelists, not just the people, but the evangelists. That's all they've got on their minds, is projecting themselves to the world and letting somebody see how great and mighty they are. That's so childish. That's just a babe in Christ. See, how can we ever convert the world? How can we ever win the world? See, God, glorify me with thy glory. God, send down your presence and your blessings. Let me understand. Let me know what's going on, oh God. You know, I don't mean this wrong, but just think. Look at men like Brother Roberts, and look at men like Billy Graham, and look at men like T.L. Osborne, and look at men like Jimmy Swaggart, and look at other great men, But look what they've got themselves into, running after fame and popularity. Never, after all of their years of preaching and praying for the sick and having such a great ministry, have never until today come into baptism in Jesus' name. Have never even until today come to know that you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin if you ever get to heaven. With all of the great things that they've done, having a desire for fame and popularity and the prestige of the world, having been caught in a snare and got into a rut to where it's just something that's like a little old child. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And I just call those names. There's numbers of other names of great and mighty men that's on TV. There's Jim Baker. There's Pat Robinson. And I could go on and on and on with them. Men who have never, even as of today, come to the knowledge of baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. Though they're great men and mighty men, but yet they've never even come that far along. See how horrible that is. Just think where the church world is today. You say, Brother Pike, you're speaking against those men. Absolutely not. I think they're some of the most wonderful men in the world. I've got the greatest kind of respect for them. I think they've done things that's literally unbelievable. But with all that they've done, they've still never even come to the place to understand the preeminence of the name of Jesus Christ, and that in baptism. See, so then what do we need to do? We need to speak the truth. We need to tell the truth. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I think what we need to do, all of us need to get together. I agree to that. But we all don't need to get together on the things that they're teaching. We all don't need to get together and come together in a unified endeavor of being a charismatic order. We don't need to get together just to have one great congregation to where everybody can preach. Oh, that is to let the Trinities tell the people and the others tell the people and get the people so mixed up till they don't know what they're doing. Like somebody said recently that he was in a place where they taught baptism in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden the man backed up and said, well, I'll just baptize you anyway, it don't matter. Either way. See, that's bad, folks. The Word of God is the Word of God to Oral Roberts, the great and mighty man. The Word of God is to the Word of God to Brother George Pike, who's a nobody. And the Word of God is the Word of God to every evangelist, whether it's Billy Graham or whether it's Pat Robinson, whoever it is. The Word of God is the same. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. And he isn't going to let Pat Robinson or Jim Baker or Billy Graham or anybody else get by with anything less than he's going to require Brother Pike. He isn't going to let Brother Pike get by with anything other than what he requires of Jim Baker and Pat Robinson. So then what do we need to do? We need to get together, all right? But we need to get together on the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, that's what we need to get together on. And if that isn't the Word of God that they're talking about, then they need to lay it aside. You know, I had a night vision last night, I believe it was, and somebody trained their guns on me. There was a person that trained their guns on me. They were determined to shoot me last night. And it was because I crossed their Trinitarian teaching. I crossed their Trinitarian teaching. They were teaching a Trinity doctrine that was wrong in the vision. In the vision was absolutely wrong in the sight of God. And when I crossed it, they lined their guns on me. And they were determined to shoot me. I mean, they meant to get me. And they began to shoot at me. But you know, even though I couldn't get out of the way of it, I didn't have a hiding place, yet in the vision, in the end, I went out over them. I went out over them. You know why? Because in the vision, I was emphasizing the name of Jesus Christ, and I was holding the name of Jesus Christ just like the Bible taught it, and I went out over them. So then, Father, glorify me with thy glory that I might glorify thee. Let the wonderful glory of God come into my heart. Let the Spirit of God come into my heart. Father, let me be illuminated with your glory. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That same Word came forth and was made flesh. You know what? If I ever do get the glory of God, I've got to have one thing, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit, and it is glory. The Word of God is spirit, and it is life. The Word of God is the same glory that glorified Jesus as Jesus stood upon the mountain. The more I get the Word of God, the more I get the knowledge of God, the more I get the wisdom of God, the more I get the understanding of God, the more glory of God I'll have. Because the more I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the more brilliant, the more brighter my light will shine. Until finally I'll begin to merge into that one light of the great Ancient of Days. And I'll become one with the Ancient of Days and that great light. I'll become one with that great light. You know, that's the secret of the life of Jesus. The Bible teaches that no man can approach unto that light but Jesus. God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen or can see. The Bible said that Jesus Christ alone dwells within that light and he hath immortality. So then Christ Jesus emerged into that light. He became one with that light. And then he prays here. He said, Father, make Brother Pike one with that light. Father, I'm one with that light, but make Brother Pike one with that light. Make Brother Taylor one with that light. Make Brother Kirk one with that light. God, make them one with that light. I've given them thy glory, Father, the same glory that you've given me, I've given unto them. Make them one with that light. Don't let them continue in their childish way of life, running from place to place and running as one that beateth the air, that's actually doing nothing but eating and drinking and gradually dying. Don't let them get in a rut, a religious rut, just talking about something that's not profiting the church, that won't do the church any good, that won't bring them to that wonderful eternal life or that preservation. Don't let them do that. But God, give them that light. Give them that knowledge. Give them that word. Let them become one with this light. Let them become one with that knowledge. You know, this is the thing that really disturbs me about Bethlehem, is that the people as a whole are not making any effort to get into that light. They're not making any effort to emerge into that light. They're not making any effort to understand that light or to become one with that light or to lay aside everything in the world so that they can be part of that light. You know, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And said, this great light is shining, but not everybody can comprehend it. It shines in darkness. It shines in the midst of intellectual reasoning. But not everybody can comprehend this great light. The Bible said this light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. But the Bible says concerning you and I that we should pray for the spirit of revelation that we might be able to comprehend this light, that we might be able to comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this great light. For the great light shined in darkness and the Bible said that the darkness comprehended it not. That is, that intellectual powers of reasoning of education cannot understand this light. It doesn't matter how many colleges you've got, you'll never be able to understand this great light. You can take professors and let them be in college year after year. You can take students and put them in Bible college year after year, but they will never understand this great light. They can study and they'll ever be learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. So then they cannot understand the great light. They don't know what the great light is all about. They hear the words of God, and yet they hear not in that they hear not what the Spirit is saying to the church. They see the great things of God, and yet they see not because they do not see always the things that the Heavenly Father is doing. That is, they cannot see into the Spirit. So then Jesus spoke of the glory of this great light. The wonderful glory of this great light. This great light shined in darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. That is to say, Jesus came and preached to them, and Jesus came and told them about this wonderful thing called godliness, but they couldn't understand it. They said, you're confusing me. I don't understand what you're saying. What is this you say? We don't understand, they said. And Jesus said, if you was my sheep, you would know my voice. He said, the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. They said, what is this that you say you go away, you know it? We don't know where to go to. We don't know how to follow you. What is this you say, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood? You don't have any life. What is this you speak about? And they could not understand because the darkness could not comprehend it. But you know, when you are a Christian, it is so beautifully understood. When you are a child of God and you've got the mind of God, that revelation just opens up and it just flows so beautifully. And you comprehend that great light. Now he said, Brother Pike, what if we don't comprehend that light? What's going to happen to us? It's going to destroy you. It's going to eradicate you. If you cannot comprehend the light, that means you are of the shadows. Paul spoke of the types and shadows. If you're not of the great light, that means you're but a shadow. Isn't that right? See, you are but a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, yea, though I walk through the valley where everything is a shadow, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. If you are not one of the great things of God, if you're not by foreknowledge of God, under predestination of eternal existence, then that means that you are but a shadow. And if you can't comprehend the great light, that means that you are a shadow. And if you are a shadow, that means as the great light comes, you'll be eradicated. Because as the great, wonderful knowledge of revelation comes forth, it penetrates and it eradicates. And just as the sun melts the snow to show the growth beneath, so does God, the great light, eradicate the shadows of this intellectual comprehension. Or that is the tangible things around you. So does the light eradicate those. And with the eradicating of those shadows, that means that only the image itself is left. And so then if you are a shadow, then that means that you just completely are taken out of the way. Someone would say, well, I just don't understand that. I just don't get that, Brother Pike. What are you talking about? All right, let's look at it like this. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that happens like that. How is it that Jesus walked through the wall? Somebody explain to me, how did he walk through the wall? What caused him to do that? You know what caused it? He was the great light. When he got near the wall, there was no wall. There was no wall. When the great Ancient of Days comes forth, there is no mountain. When the great Ancient of Days comes forth, there is no seas. Why? Because the great revelating mind of God shows it to be as what it was intended. That is to say, it doesn't show the fallen Adam of the man that is sinful and the man that is corrupt and the man that is contrary to God. But the Bible said at the appearing of the great light will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. That is, the shadow part of it will fade away as the sunlight comes. And the very image itself shall be there. So then, if you cannot comprehend the great light, then are you the shadows. But if you can comprehend the great light, then are you part of the great light. And that means that with the coming of the great light, so ye also come to the extent of eradicating the shadows. And the great image of God appears. For we don't know what he looks like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And folks, there's some things that's taking place. There's some great things that's taking place. Right now, there is a people, whereas God, the great light, even Jesus, the quickening spirit, he is appearing to them on the inside. And he is secretly setting up a kingdom on the inside of human beings. And he's bringing his kingdom into power on the inside of people. He is filling people with his great knowledge and his great power. And he's setting up his kingdom and he's eradicating every shadow that's on the inside. Every dark light is having to move out. Every demon, every power of the shadows is having to move out. Everything that's relating to the darkness has to move out. And the whole house is filled with light. The whole house is filled with light. The Bible said that if the eyes be single, then your whole body is full of light. What do we mean if the eye be single? You say, I've got two eyes, Brother Pike, that could never be single unless I lost one of them. But Jesus was speaking of the eyes of understanding. If your eyes of understanding are single, that is, if you're not double-minded, if you don't think one day this way and another day this way, if you don't think spiritually today this way and then naturally this way tomorrow. In other words, if you just think one way and that's spiritual, you're just spiritual, you're straight ahead, you're right up front. See, you are spiritual in all of your plans, spiritual in all of your desires, spiritual in all of your ambitions. Truthful. Truth eradicates. Truth frees you from the shadows. And so then, if you are truthful, if you've got the Spirit of God on the inside, then God completely eradicates the shadows on the inside. And God moves all of the soot out of the globe. And God takes all the darkness out. And from within, God begins to purge. And you become a house filled with light. And you become a sanctified person on the inside. And on the inside of you, you find that you're filled with the light or the knowledge of Almighty God. Your whole entire being is illuminated with thoughts of heavenly things and desire for heavenly things. And your conversation becomes holy. And you get to where you don't care about the world at all. And so then on the inside, all fleshly ambition is completely eradicated. And so then the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. That great light begins to shine in truth on the inside of you. And so then as that great light begins to shine, it gradually from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding, it begins to penetrate the body. It begins to shine forth and it begins to penetrate the body. And the Bible said, wisdom maketh thy face to shine. From within, the kingdom of God on the inside of human beings comes forth the great light of that transformating power that transformates every thought and translates all of your spirit and then transfigures your body into the same glorious image that stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. So then if you cannot comprehend that, if you cannot understand that, if you cannot get a hold of that, then that means that you are but a shadow. And when the great light begins to come, you pass away. Because heaven and earth shall pass away. Why shall heaven and earth pass away? Because heaven and earth is but a shadow. Heaven and earth is but a shadow. Paul said all of these things being but a shadow of the great things to come. These having a foreshadow, he said, of the great things to come. These being but a shadow of the great things to come, he said, therefore there's something greater. There's something more outstanding. There's something that's far greater than just the shadows. So then we see that with the coming of the great light, the world must pass away. Because the world is in perversion and the world is a lie and vanity. And Satan is the spirit that is in control of the lie and vanity that is swallowing up humanity. And when humanity, those that rebel against God and those that reject God and those that are unlike God, when they're completely bound in bundles, then God, the great light, will appear and the spiritual beings will be caught away into the angelic world. They'll be unveiled, the shadow will pass away, and there they'll stand in the glorious sunlight of His presence. And the shadow of the lying vanity will have been gone. And having been gone, then we'll stand there in His glorious image. Father, glorify me with Thy glory that I might glorify Thee, that all of the world may see me as the wonderful, unveiled Son of the living God. Glorify me, Father, that the world may look upon me not as a shadow, not as a passing shadow, but as a great, unveiled Son of God, but standing in power to be there in Your presence, eternal, something that cannot pass away. So all that can pass away will pass away. And the Bible said, as God has shaken the earth, so shall He shake the heavens. And even that which is in the heavens that is a shadow shall pass away. And all of that is in the earth shall pass away because the shadow shall be no more. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And though it be the shadow of death, that is to say all of these things spell death. For to be carnally minded is death. If my mind is a constitution of types and shadows, that is if all I can think about is eating and drinking and trees and lakes and houses and lands, if that's the constitution of my mind, and if my mind doesn't excel that, if my mind doesn't go beyond my passions, if my mind doesn't go beyond educational indoctrination, then that means that that is the shadows. And to be carnally minded is death, because the carnal mind is a constitution of the lying vanities, and the lying vanities is nothing but shadows. Therefore, to be within the shadows is to die. For as the shadows pass away, so shall ye pass away, if ye be a constitution of the shadows. So with the brightness of the coming of Almighty God, there comes forth the great light, and there comes forth a new world, and the great new dimension to which you and I belong, because we are the wonderful children of God. We are the great angelic beings with those quickening spirits that the Bible teaches cannot die, because they are equal to the angels, inasmuch as God has made the angel spirits. So then, Father, glorify me with thy glory. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The mind that can translate you. The mind that can cause you to excel the human barriers of this world, to get beyond the gravitational powers of this world. Let that mind be in you that can elevate you and raise you up and transformate your mind and transfigure your body and translate your spirit. Let the great mind of God be in you that can take you into another dimension and raise you out of this dimension by the great transformating. Let this great mind be in you that as you begin to think on God, that you become equal with God. As you begin to think on the righteousness of God, you become the righteousness of God incarnate. Let this mind be in you that makes you to realize that He is your righteousness, or that you are His righteousness, that ye are one in Christ Jesus. And that Jesus actually became your sinful nature and your sinful body, that you might become His righteousness in God. Let this mind be in you that makes you to know that you're perfect, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Let this mind be in you that makes you to know that you're equal with God. That you are a son of God, that you have passed from death unto life, that you are not in the flesh, that you are not in this world, but that God has chosen you out of this world, and that you are in heaven, and that you are a heavenly being, and that you are eternal, and that ye shall never come into condemnation, because you are equal with God. You are equal with the angels. You are equal with God. Because of His righteousness, because of Calvary, and because of the wonderful things of Jesus. So then the light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And they could not understand. They could not comprehend. They did not know what it was all about. They did not know what was being said. So then the darkness, the intellectual powers of education, they could not scrutinize and understand. They could not define it and understand. They could not scientifically put it under observation and understand it. So then tonight, there are those that are here that belong to the other world. There are those that are here that have another body, even a celestial body. And there are those here that have another mind, even a celestial mind. And they are those that are here that are not dependent upon the blood life of Adam, but rather upon the spiritual life which comes from the blood life of Jesus. There are those that are here that has been born again. That means that they are not in the same world that they were born into to start with. They're now born into another world. And this by the washing of the water of the Word, which means the Spirit. Or that is to say, by regeneration. They're not of the same generation of Adam that was born into the world and under sin. They have been regenerated, and now they are in the new generation, which is the generation of Jesus Christ. So they are the regenerated. And therefore, when we speak of them as the regenerated. The Bible said, who shall declare his generation? I said the other night, I'm here to declare that he has a generation. The Bible said he was cut off. His posterity was cut off. Who shall declare his posterity? I'm here to declare his generation tonight. He hath a generation. He liveth. He hath a generation. And he was the beginning of that new generation. He was the first brother among many brethren. So then tonight, there is a generation of God people. And that generation of God people, they are gods. And what is a God? A God is that which is equal to a God. Jesus said, ye are gods. You shall die like men, because you've never discovered that ye are gods. It is from the lack of knowledge of knowing what you are, death shall seize upon you. But there shall come a day when he shall make known to you. And this is the day, beloved friend. So then, if we be gods, then why should we die? Why should ye die, O Israel? If we be gods, why should we die? Gods are not made to die. That's what a God is something that cannot die. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if a God is something that cannot die, then that means that you're left out, because one day they're going to put you in a hole. No. To the contrary, I passed from death unto life a long time ago. And when I passed from death unto life, I came to the place where I'll never come into condemnation. I passed from death unto life, so then I became a God. And having become a God, there's no way I can die, because gods cannot die. There's no way a God can die. If you could die, you couldn't be a God. Because anything that can die cannot be a God. Because God means object of worship. And anything that is to be worshipped must be it must be something that cannot die. See, so then it cannot die. A God cannot die. Isn't that wonderful? So then tonight, you either pass from death unto life. You cannot die. You'll never come into condemnation. You pass from death unto life, and that's what makes you a God. So tonight, I rejoice in the fact that I am a God. He made me a God. And that's wonderful. That's what I like that, don't you? Somebody said, well, I'm just a man, Brother Pike. That's all I can say about it. Well, that's fine. If that's all you can say about it, I'm just a God. That's all I can say about it. That's all we can do is just say what all we can say about it, you know. So whatever you are, that's all you can say about it. In his foreknowledge, he made me a God. So then that's why my believing is like this, see. A lion, he knows he's a lion. He knows he's a lion, but he don't know if nothing else is more important than a lion. Isn't that right? Lion don't know of anything that's more important than a lion. He knows he's a lion, and he feels like he's king of the area. And if you don't believe he's king, just get around him and he'll show you who's the boss. And you can find out who'll be left when the battle's over. So then he knows, you know, a man knows he's a man, but he feels like he's top of the ladder, you know. He's top of the pack, as they say. He knows he's a man, he feels like he's top notch. And whatever a man does, that's the way it's supposed to be. But you can't persuade a dog of that. You can't persuade a lion to believe that whatever a man does is the best way to do it. He's got new ideas about it. And he does it a different way. See, and that's the way it is with a God. You can't persuade God that man's ways is right. The Bible said man's ways is right in his own eyes. But when it comes to God, it's a different way of doing it. That's why I think like I do. I got a different way of doing it. See, being a God, I've got a different way of doing it. So then I'm persuaded that God is the top. And there ain't nothing else. And that his way is the right way and the best way. He said, but how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because God can overlook everything else. And everything else can't overlook God. Anything that can see Father is the oversight or the overseer. So then he can see Father. Don't you think so? He said, well, how far can he see, even from everlasting to everlasting? That's a long ways. So then, since he sees, he understands all things, he knows all things, then that is why that his idea is the best. That is why his word is the best. And that's what makes us God, is we think like that. We think that we are gods. And we think that we know all things. And we think that we are alive forevermore. Can you think like that? Now, let this mind be in you as also, that was also in Christ Jesus. That is, what is a mind? It's a thinking thing. It's something that thinks. Let this thinking thing be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this word, let this understanding, let this great God mind that created the types and the shadows, let it be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. He thought it not robbery. He didn't think he was robbing God of the glory to be equal with God. For if this mind is in you, you come to believe that. Let me say just a few more things right here and we're going to close. I said something concerning Jesus being a babe in a manger. I brought out something on that this morning. I preached on it here not too long ago. As a matter of fact, a brother was here this morning. He said that that really opened his eyes to some things. See, Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned his obedience by the things that he suffered. He was a man like I'm a man. Isn't that right? How do you believe he was God? Do you believe he was God? Somebody answer me. Do you believe he was God? What makes you think he was God? Somebody says, well, I know he was God. How do you know he was God? What proof have you got of it? How can you prove it? So he says, well, I can prove it by the scripture, Brother Pike, that he was God. Well, why did Jesus then say, John 4:24, that God is a spirit and a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have? Where do we go from there if he was God? Is God then a man that he should lie? He said that he is not. See, where we get mixed up, folks, is we don't rightly divide the scripture. See, what does Jesus mean by that? The Bible said, to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become. And this is where it's at. See, the Bible said, and the word was made flesh. And the word was made flesh. What kind of flesh? Well, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How do you believe that we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Well, then do you believe that Jesus was God? Well, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, now, I guess he was God, but not his flesh. Then it wouldn't do us any good to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Because if we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, that means that we couldn't be God because we're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Well, somebody said, no, I believe in the beginning, Brother Pike, that the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Then that must mean that if I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then that must mean that me and him have something in common. Who thought it not robbery to make himself God? And he thought it not robbery to make himself God. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, he didn't say that. Well, why did he say to the woman, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins? What does he mean, unless you believe I am he? He who? So, you see, the Bible said that he was made perfect. And the Bible said, learning obedience by the things he suffered, as he developed in the flesh to the God-man. That is to say, the great spirit of life on the inside made his fleshly body day by day, made it God. God, from within that little blood cell, God, that spiritual blood cell, God, that went into that blood cell, that God broke forth in that little minute-like way. He broke forth and he grew to the fullness of the stature until he was the fullness of God in the earth. And God made his very flesh the Word. That is God the Spirit, which became a word, a knowledge, a thought, a mind, an understanding, actually made a human body God. How was that? Jesus discovered that. As he walked, he heard, and he believed, and he thus became God manifested in the flesh. And so it is with you and I. To as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And the Bible said, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes inside of you. Just as when Jesus had come inside there, he became God. So then when the Spirit comes on the inside of you, you receive the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is God. And God from within makes you God. He makes your flesh God. He changes it into God. That's why the Bible said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. Ye don't know what he looks like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So then what is he doing? He is revealing on the inside of me. He is revealing from glory to glory, from step to step, from revelation to revelation. He's revealing to me who I am. He's revealing to me who I am. He revealed to Jesus who he was. Day by day, he revealed to him who he was. And he came to know that he was very God. He is revealing to me who I am. And you know what? I've made a discovery. I've made a discovery from glory to glory. I've been discovering something. He's been revealing to me who I am. That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. It means the inward revealing to you that you are the Christ. You love the Lord? And you say, that can't be, Brother Pike. That can't be. Well, why did Paul then say, it is not I that liveth, but the Christ? Is that right? It is not I that liveth, but the Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. So he said, just reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus. Dead and buried in the watery grave of baptism. And now you're in the newness of life, and you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're now the sons of God, and you pass from death unto life. And now ye belong to God Almighty, and ye are the living, walking, talking body of God in the earth. One with the head, even Jesus Christ. Even the members of the body, having been baptized into the body by one great life. Whatever the life is in your arm is the life that's in your legs. And whatever the life is that's in your legs is the life that's in your head. And whatever the life is that is in your head is in your heart. And that makes all members one body. So by the great God Spirit, I became a member of that body. Even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So today we are the God body. The great God body and the great God mind is appearing on the inside. And what is it doing? It is appearing on the inside to announce the coming of the head. It is announcing the coming of the head. Isn't that wonderful? He's on his way, beloved. He's on his way. So let's just stand together. Remember, there is a spiritual man that has a spiritual head, which is the spiritual mind of Christ. And there is a natural Jew which has a natural head. And there will be a Jesus coming someday. That's why the church excels the Jew. That's why the church gets away when the Jew has to stay. Because the mystic Christ body has its mystic mind and its mystic head. So it comes to maturity. And then, of course, the body, which is the flesh, profiteth nothing. And the Jew, which is that body, patiently waits for you and I to return. For we go up before the tribulation period that we might ride over the tribulation and might come back in Revelation 19 to pick up the Jew body and add them to the membership. Because we are the head of the body. We are the Christ. We are the male that will pick up the female. We are the sons that shall marry the church, even as a man taketh to himself a wife. So then the church will be picked up, even with Jesus, before the tribulation, because they are the head of all nations. And they will administer the rites of righteousness and grace through the Jews as the head of the nation, in that there will be a natural to relate to natural. So then we come into power in that great headship, that mind. We're picked up. And we ride over the tribulation period. And then we pick up the Jews and all of the nations that we might rule throughout eternity. Why then are we the head? Because it is not us living, but Christ. And he is the head of the church. Paul said, and Christ is the head of the church. So let's sing a little chorus together. That's why we should walk godly, circumspectly. Should not the judge of all the earth do right, Abraham said. If we be then the judge of all the earth, should not we do right? The Bible said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Being the judge of all the earth, shall we not then do right? Should we not then do right? How then shall we judge the people if we ourselves are not right? We forfeit our right to the power to judge. Judge righteous judgment. Let's sing this together. Weep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest that is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me now? I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it one more time with me now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's just bow our heads together. Can you then comprehend the light? The light is shining in the darkness. Can you thus comprehend the light? The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible said, but to as many as believed, that is, some comprehended, because you cannot believe unless you know what's being said, because you don't know what to believe. But to as many as believed, to them gave he power, and that power was to become. That power was to become. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? Isn't that beautiful? The power to become. You might say, what? To become what, Brother Pike? The power to become sons of the living God. What is sons of God? I say this so often. What is sons of God? Sons of God, what are they? Sons of God are the same to God as the son of an elephant is to an elephant. Oh, they wouldn't call it a son. But whatever that is to the elephant, you say, well, Brother Pike, that little elephant would be an elephant. That's true. That little son of God would be a God. Couldn't make nothing else out of him. If it was an elephant that was born of an elephant, it would be an elephant. And if you are born of God, then are ye his sons. And if ye are his sons, then you got to be gods, because gods beget gods. And elephants beget elephants. Sheep beget sheep. You couldn't be nothing but a son of God or a God. A God. So then tonight, let this mind be in you. God is giving you power to become. The power to become. The power to become a son of God. A son of God. You are children of God, sons and daughters of the Lord. He gives you power to become sons of God. In the spirit, there's neither male nor female. You are spirits. And spirits are angels. And angels don't have human organic parts. They are spirits. They do not reproduce as human beings, which are animal-like. So then, your angelic beings, restored back to your angelic place where you was in the beginning, before you fell to the beast level. Ye are sons of God. The world don't see it, because it's an invisible work on the inside, and they can't see that. They can't get a hold of that. But it is Christ within your tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir up your mind of Christ, which is called the pure mind. He said, but when I put off this tabernacle, I've got another tabernacle called the body of Jesus Christ, which is in the Spirit. He called it a tabernacle, a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Heavens means spirit. The tabernacle or house means the body. You're God's house, you're God's building, you're God's temples. God tabernacles inside of you. According to your measure that you can receive, according to the measure that is given unto you, dealing unto every man the measures, the man is able to receive it, even the measure of the great knowledge, which is the measure of the great light. Even as you're able to receive it and understand it, so dwelleth God on the inside of you. It is said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. So then God tabernacles in you. Power to become, that means power to change your natural body into a celestial being that will eternally continue throughout eternity. I've given you the power to believe to transfigure your body. You don't have to go by the grave to do it. Enoch didn't do that. Neither did Jesus as he stood on the mountain. Neither did Elijah, Moses. You don't have to die to do that. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's not necessary to sleep, Paul said, but it's necessary to be changed. The power to change your body. To as many as believe, I gave you the power over death. All power over the powers of sickness, poverty, death. All power over the powers of the enemy. All power over the powers of insanity, the powers of fear, the powers of frustration, the powers of lust, the powers of deception, the powers of gossiping and backbiting, frustration, powers of human passion, powers of death. I give you the power, I give you the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. He's the power over all things. For Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh. And he within you is the hope of that great glory. To the extent of the change of the Thessalonian chains, to the image of sonship, even sons of God, to glorify the temple. While you've got your heads bowed, while we're reverencing the Lord, I'm going to ask Brother Mitch Hamby to come up here and pray with us. While Mitch is coming, I want you to just think for a few minutes. Do I have the power? Father, glorify me with thine own glory that thou gavest me before the world ever was. This glory that thou hast given me, I've given unto them, Father. I've kept them in thy name. Make them one even as we're one, my Father. Can you say tonight, my Father and I are one? Are you going on to perfection? Not just repenting over and over, laying the foundation over and over, going on to build a house. Are you going on to be perfect in the sight of God? To say that me and my Father are one, for this prince of the world hath nothing in me. As he is, so am I in Christ Jesus. Complete in him.